On this episode of Humans with Haunts, I sit down with Aspen from Arizona to find out what her high school friendship means to her. Welcome back to Humans with Haunts. On this episode, I am joined by Aspen. Aspen, I know her through a friend of a friend of a friend, sort of. It's a roommate of a friend of a friend's girlfriend. Anyways, you know, she's listened to a couple episodes. We've talked about it. And, you know, I released it. She's like, when am I getting on the podcast? And I said, come on. You know, I'm welcome to anyone coming on. And I'm like, come on. At which point she ignored me and stopped responding. And I'm like, so is the podcast happening or not? No response. Finally, we had like this cookie party. I bring it up again. She's like, oh, I want to be on it. I try to set up a time. She says, maybe. And here we are 2.5 weeks later, you know, from that initial interaction here on the podcast. And I'm grateful to have you. You know, coming into this point, you've had a lot of thoughts of, oh, what can I talk about? I'm not interesting. I'm boring. I have no personality.
I wouldn't say that.
These are some of the things you've told me, at least.
Oh.
You know, but for those listeners, I think I want you here on the podcast because I think everyone has something to share and the listeners can learn from it, you know? So for those listeners that may not personally know you, maybe like give us a little bit of a background on who you are and where you came from.
Okay, well, before we move on, I would like to say that Hans is the one who told me I didn't have a personality.
Debatable.
And this is very debatable, because I think I have a very, very good personality. The men seem to love it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We'll dive deep into that later.
Oh, yes.
But anyways.
Okay, yeah, so my name's Aspen. I am from Arizona. I haven't really lived there my whole life. I moved there when I was like in between freshman and sophomore year of high school. I kind of moved around a lot before that because my dad was in the Navy. He's also just he doesn't really like sticking to jobs that well. So he likes bouncing around a little bit. You know, he was in the Navy for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Moved around a lot for that. And then he worked at a windmill farm in Washington. Decided it was too easy. Then he moved us to Alabama.
Okay.
And so he worked in nuclear power there. And then all of our family's from Arizona, so the goal was to always get back to Arizona.
Yeah.
And so we moved back to Arizona, and he worked at a nuclear plant there. And now, fun fact, he is a sales bro.
Wow.
I have a sales bro for a dad.
That's something special.
Yep, sells asphalt. Don't ask me the company, because I can't remember.
That's okay. You know, I think that's interesting. I think that sheds a little bit of light on who you are as a person. You know, I know of you, but I don't really know you, you know?
Yeah.
We've had interaction, but we've never sat down and talked, and I didn't know that about you. And I think that sort of opens my eyes to maybe why you are the way you are, you know, which I think is interesting. You know, now Aspen, this podcast, Humans with Haunts, is all about relationships, whether it's interpersonal, whether it's, you know, platonic, romantic, whatever. It is about the idea that relationships impact each of us on a variety of levels. For you, what is a relationship that has influenced your life?
You know, I would say I'm a very big friend gal, you know? So I have definitely had a lot of relationships with friends that have definitely impacted me as a person. I specifically have like a group of friends from high school that I'm still friends with currently in college.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's interesting. Now, you know, growing up the way you grew up, moving around, not being in one place really for very long, you know, me on the other hand, I've lived in Sandy, you know, like my whole life.
Yeah.
And I personally say I have two really close friends that are my cousins. So they're family, not quite friends, a little more than friends. But other than that, I feel like I personally don't have super close relationships with those people that I've technically lived my whole life with. So how do you think your experience of moving to these different places and meeting all these new people, how has that sort of impacted, you know, that those friendships that you've now made for once you moved to Arizona?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't really know. I guess I feel like it was just, we started being friends, not even when I first moved to Arizona. And then it just, like, kind of happened between sophomore and junior year of high school.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't even know how we've managed to stay friends this long. I feel like we just are kind of all really careless people.
Yeah.
And anytime anything bad happens, we just kind of push it to the side. Maybe it's not the healthiest relationship.
Maybe.
However, it works for us, and that's all that matters. I forgot
the question. I think that's a good response. You know, you moved to Arizona at what age? Or what grade, I guess, in school?
Freshman, sophomore,
right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't maybe till a year later that you really made some of these friends that you feel like have really impacted your life.
Yeah, I was like 15.
Right. You know, that first year was probably pretty hard, being new to an area, probably new to a school, but you'd done it before, right?
Yeah.
You had experience going into a place, being the new girl,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Do you feel like that experience of already being a new girl, did that help you sort of find these friends, that this friendships that have lasted?
I mean, I honestly, I don't think so. Throughout my childhood, I was very, very shy.
Okay.
And so I didn't really have many friends growing up. Like, I would mainly just stick to my mom.
Yeah.
This
is as you were moving around different areas.
Yeah. And so, like, I didn't really have, like, super close friends. When I moved to Alabama is when I kind of started making, like, more lasting friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I got to Arizona, my dad really was just like, you have to go and make friends. And we were at, like, a youth activity, and he was like, go talk to her. And I was like, no, don't make me do that.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, go do it. And he, like, walked me over there. It was a little embarrassing for me. And he, like, made me sit down and talk to this group of girls. And I've been friends with them since. I just...
Wow.
I don't know how. I've definitely changed a lot as a person since then.
Yeah.
I've definitely come out of my shell.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
So it was sort of this push from your father,
mm-hmm.
that really made this happen. What do you think might have been different? Do you feel like you would have ever been able to personally make that move? Or do you think that encouragement from your father was necessary?
I honestly don't think that I would have been super willing to go talk to them. Because, like, I had managed to make, like, one friend. I do believe in, like, fate and stuff. And, like, everything is going to work out for a reason.
For sure.
And it's going to work out how it's supposed to.
To a degree.
Yeah, to a degree. And so I feel like even if I hadn't gone and talked to them that specific day, like, I would have become friends with them eventually.
Okay.
But I don't know if it would have been to the same extent that we are friends now.
Yeah, I mean,
if that makes sense.
No, I think it does. I mean, timing is everything.
Yes.
In life and specifically in relationships. You
mm-hmm.
know, the classic saying, right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you can meet someone at a certain time and that can shift your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you would have met them later on at a different youth activity, but wouldn't have connected as well.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, you were pushed into this situation by your father, said,
mm-hmm.
go talk to these girls, sat you down.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what that initial reaction was like? Were they a little standoffish? Were they very inviting? Do you remember any experiences from that time?
I mean, they were pretty inviting. So I'm not really necessarily friends with, like, all of them still.
Okay.
I'm not super close with all of them, but...
Do you want to personally call them out, name their name?
We mustn't. We mustn't, Hans.
That'll be on the exclusive content releasing later.
Check out his Patreon for
yeah.
that info.
It might not be out yet, but it will be.
Eventually we'll get there. He's got to make money off of this somehow.
Yeah. Exactly. But
yes.
Anyways.
And I think that So one of the main people that has definitely helped break me out of my shell, her name is Brecken, and I'm still really good friends with her.
Fantastic. Love I hope she's a listener.
Brecken, if you're listening to this, I love you so much, girl.
That's fantastic. And if she isn't a listener yet, she will be in the future. Hopefully.
Yeah.
After your words of encouragement to listen.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, so Brecken, as you were saying.
So she was, I feel like she was definitely one of the most inviting people. She just has like such a sweet personality and stuff.
Yeah.
And she definitely just like kept inviting me to things. And so at first it just started like me hanging out with the girls in my ward.
Yeah.
And she would invite me to like go hang out with them there. And then eventually she like invited me to hang out with some other friends in the stake.
Okay.
And that's really who became like my high school friend group. It was, like, a lot of people from my stake.
Which is in your church.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I would say that Brecken is, like, the main driving factor and the reason I have friends. So, shout out her.
That's interesting. What do you think it was that allowed you to connect to Brecken? Because to create that relationship... You know, was she genuinely just super friendly and just willing to invite you? Because, I mean, there's people like that in my life. I have this second cousin who invites me to things all the time. And I feel super bad because sometimes, a lot of times I can't go. Mm-hmm. But she consistently invites me even when I can't go.
Yeah.
Just because she has that, you know, nice personality and is willing to invite. Do you think Brecken's like that? Or do you think Brecken had already sort of developed that keen and fondness for you and that friendship that she really just wanted you there?
I mean... Honestly, I feel like Brecken is very, she's a very kind person, and she will go out of her way to make sure that people are included.
Yeah.
But I honestly feel like me and Brecken just clicked very easily from the get-go. Like, we're very alike. We're both very...
Such as?
We like to laugh a lot. Okay. At very stupid things.
Yeah.
And
which I've come to learn as I've associated with you.
Yes, I will laugh at just about anything and everything. So if you're ever in a comedy show, I mean, I guess invite me because like I'll laugh. I will laugh for you.
That's good. It can be the stupidest joke. I keep that in my, when I start my stand-up comedy routine, you know.
Yes.
You'll be one of the first invites.
Yes, I've made it in life. But yeah, I think me and Brecken just really clicked just because we really do have a lot of like the same personality, and like we're just like genuinely, I would say, very happy people. Like, we don't get really bothered by things that easy.
I'm curious, the term happy I feel like is different for so many people.
Yeah.
For you, and maybe this relationship with Brecken, what does happy mean? And I know that's a hard, it's hard to define something so broad. Is there an experience in your time, in your relationship with Brecken, that you're like, I am happy? A memory of just, wow, that's happy. Or is it maybe just sort of been consistent?
I would say that it's mainly consistency. I think that, like, one of our funniest, goofiest, silly goofy moments
for sure.
together was we had early morning seminary together. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically church before school.
Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. And down in Arizona, not all schools offer seminary in class. So we did have to go before school. And so me and Brecken, we get up at the butt crack of dawn, get to go march our butts over to that church and listen. We're like half asleep. Well, almost all of our class is half asleep. Me and Brecken, on the other hand, we are not. We are sitting there laughing our heads off. We got in trouble almost every day for laughing. Then we would get in trouble, and we would laugh when we got in trouble because we didn't know why we were getting in trouble.
Right.
We didn't know why we were laughing, and we were just laughing. And I feel like for me and Brecken, that is the epitome of our happiness, just laughing.
Yeah. I love that. I think laughter is essential. And I think
100%.
A lot of times, you know, I have this podcast and I talk to people and I talk about humor and relationships. And it seems like yours and Brecken's relationship really is based off of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're sharing your story about seminary actually reminded me of a story of my grandma. There was this time when she was growing up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a big family and she had some sisters. And they would sit sort of in the middle of the congregation at church.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this time, and her father was sort of the leader of the congregation, a bishop.
Yeah.
And he was on the stand. I hope I'm remembering this right. But there was this time where her and her sister were just giggling and laughing in the middle of church. And the mom turns, and other people in the ward turn. And her response back to her mom was, giggling, sometimes you just can't help it.
You really can't.
And you can't. And I think that's, there's so many times in our lives where we think back and we're like, that was instrumental, that was important, but you don't even know why you were laughing. All you remember is that you were laughing.
Yeah.
You know, that emotion of joy and happiness, there's times in my life where I'll have a conversation with someone, I don't remember what we talk about, but I remember the connection that we created.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how has this relationship, you know, with Brecken, it's been what, probably 4 or 5 years?
5 years.
5 years or so. How has it developed? How has it deepened over the years? Or is it maybe still surface level? And that's okay too.
No, I would say Brecken is definitely one of the people that knows me best. I'm not really, I don't even know how to describe this. I'm not a super deep person.
Which is all right. You know, there's people like me and there's people like you. I'm kidding.
I'm like, I'm not very deep.
But I mean, you have this closeness, this intimate yeah. relationship with Brecken. You know, how does that doesn't just appear. That takes yeah. time. You know, how have you deepened that relationship? Has it been late night sleepovers? Has it been walks in the park? I don't know.
Is
there anything that comes to mind?
I would honestly just say quality time. My love language is definitely quality time. And we just, all those times that we've like spent together just hanging out and laughing. And like, I've gone and I've stayed at her place. She stayed at mine. Like last semester, I would say is like when we started becoming like super close.
Yeah.
And like definitely our relationship definitely deepened.
Yeah.
Because I would come up to Utah. I was still living in Arizona last semester.
Right.
Or I guess fall semester.
Yeah, almost a year ago.
Yeah. So I was still living in Arizona, but I wanted to come up to Arizona. I mean, to Utah, because all of my friends were up here.
For the boys.
Yeah, for the boys. Gang, gang.
The skater boys.
Oh, love those. If you're a skater boy listening to this, hit me up. Hit my line. JK.
But not really.
Yeah, but not really. I'm like, if there's video with this thing, that'd be great, because our reactions are definitely making this podcast.
Oh, for sure. And I think the listeners are visualizing.
Picture my face, guys.
You'll be shocked.
You will.
Anyways, sorry.
I would definitely say that it deepened then, just because like I would come up and I would stay with Brecken for like a week, and then I would go back, and then yeah. I would come and stay again with her for like a week. And like it was like we were living together, basically, and, like, she would know exactly what I was doing, I would know exactly what she was doing, like, we would be up until, like, late hours of the night, literally just talking about the stupidest, most random stuff, and we would be spilling all this drama and all this tea, and, like, I would say that definitely just, like, really deepened our relationship.
Yeah. And I think that's what it takes. It takes time, effort, and a willingness to be open.
Yeah.
I think in any relationship, that's necessary. You know, it sounds like your relationship has been full of happiness, joy, but I think every relationship has its struggles, has its downs. You know, has there been a time or an experience where, you know, that relationship, maybe you were questioning the friendship?
I don't know. So,
or is it perfect? And if it's perfect, I'm not going to believe you, but like we can leave lying. It for the listeners.
Why you always lying? I would definitely say that like we have had times of our lives. I wouldn't say that we had like problems, but there were like times that we weren't super close. So Brecken is a few years older than me.
Uh-huh.
So when I was a sophomore in high school, she was a senior.
Okay.
And so after that, she moved up to Utah for a year. And, like, we were still texting and, like, talking to each other when she was up in Utah. And then she went on a mission.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest, I am a terrible emailer.
So am I.
I emailed her maybe once.
Yeah.
While she was gone. So when she got back, it was a little awkward. Just because, like, there was some other drama within our friend group.
Does it have to do with boys?
Yes, it does.
Always. We're not going to get into that on this podcast.
Hey, next episode.
But, you know, maybe I'll have you back.
I would be honored. I would be honored.
We'll see. We'll see how this episode performs.
Okay. Okay. But when she got back, I knew that I still wanted to be friends with her, but I didn't know exactly how to go about it just because, like, there were some other people in our lives, and I wasn't sure if, like, she would hold that against me because I wasn't friends with those people that she was still friends with.
Right. You'd had a bit of falling out with those people in the friend group, maybe, that she still considered close.
Yeah.
You didn't really want to deal with it.
Yeah. Makes sense. So I just kind of felt awkward, but I would say that's really it.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's been pretty easy. Easy breezy.
Yeah, we just kind of worked past it, I guess.
You know... It makes sense. You know, I experienced sort of a similar phenomenon when I returned from my mission. My two close cousins that were my friends my whole lives, you know, it sort of struggled getting back after our religious missions. Coming home, it was hard to connect on some of those things. I struggled even with, like, my sister, who I'd grown up with, and all of a sudden, I felt like she was a different person. I was a different person. And when you're apart for a time like that, it is... hard to sort of come back.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you were able to do that. You know, as our time is sort of winding down here to a close, I'm just curious, what do you think is one defining sort of result of your relationship? This relationship with Brecken, how has it impacted other relationships outside of maybe helping you find friends? Do you feel like it's changed your relationship with your parents or your sibling, you know? How do you feel like it's influenced other relationships? And if it hasn't, that's okay too.
I would honestly say it's just kind of influenced my relationship with life in general.
Yeah.
Because she's definitely taught me to, like, just see the good in life and just really, like, get out there more. Because when I first met her, she was, like, one of the most easygoing, like, just, like, so full of life people that I had ever met. And so I would say that that definitely has influenced me to also get out of my shell and, like, help me really appreciate everything that life has to offer. I don't know.
No, I think that's what's a sign of a good relationship.
Yeah.
When it's someone that allows you to see your life, the world, in a different perspective, in a different light that can open your eyes to those experiences or those feelings that you yourself could not attain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a relationship is.
Yeah.
It's allowing yourself to come closer to someone so they can allow you to learn and grow. And I think you've done that. And that's amazing. You know, I'm super grateful that we were able to have you on the podcast, that we made it happen. You know, you said you had nothing to share, but I think you shared great. And I think the listeners will appreciate it. I joked about not publishing. I'll publish it for you,
Aspen. Yes, I made it in life. Oh my gosh. I would like to point out at the beginning, Hans made it really sound like I have commitment issues. That's an episode. That's a whole nother episode.
That you know, could maybe get some into. Bonus. Some bonus content.
Some bonus later. Tracks.
But, you know, outside of using you to get free swig coupons, I did appreciate having you on. The listeners enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks.
And we're grateful for it. Do you have an Instagram you want to shout out real quick? Something you're doing in life?
Shoot. I'm like, shout out my TikTok.
Sure. For the listeners that, you know, want to see those the reactions.
They want to
the
see
skater
it.
Boys.
Skater boys.
They're going to be skating into the DMs.
Yeah. So my Instagram is at Aspen Allen. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
AspenAllen. And then my TikTok is at Girl From The Year 3000. You know, like the Jonas Brothers. It's GIRLFROMTHE.
Okay.
YEAR 3000.
There it is.
The number 3000.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Aspen. Thank you again, listeners, for liking, sharing, commenting, all that good stuff. And we'll catch you next week. Okay, listeners, this is some bonus content Aspen would like to sing for you.
What should I sing?
You just said you were going to sing Taylor Swift.
Okay, okay. Dear John, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress cried the whole way home. I should have known.
Wow. And you said you've done choir your whole life. I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.